And may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
And maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's a time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. You guys are literally getting excited for a rank 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now, all right?
You gotta understand, Kevintro. This is how we scout our players here on the show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the Herons are back. Well, actually, Chris isn't here yet. But, oh, there he is. Almost on time. Mr. KBD, how are you doing, sir?
Dude, it was a tie. I mean, it wasn't bad, right? Was it as bad as people are making it out to be? It wasn't that bad.
I think it was very underwhelming. I think it was very disappointing. I think we should have won.
Like
I thought
the
opportunities were there. I think that that's going to bring a lot of doubt going into the game against Monterrey. I think there's just a lot of reasons to be unhappy. So I don't blame everybody for feeling down on today because I think that it was an underwhelming result because I felt like the performance wasn't that bad. I thought that they had a lot of opportunities. I thought Luis Suarez played a good game. I felt like for everybody that says that he doesn't do a lot of creating, I think that they haven't watched him play closely. The runs, even the dummy passes that he does, I think that he is creating for everyone. But unfortunately, the goals didn't go in. I thought that it was good.
And everybody missed you, Danny.
Thank you. For anybody who was watching last Monday, I left halfway through the episode. Something came up. I've been dealing with that all week. But things are so far better. So I'm back. And
that's phenomenal, dude. It's awesome to see you back. Awesome to be able to have you on the screen next to me. And
you held it down.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was fun. I even held it down in Spanish, almost tripped over myself, but I made it happen. And I have a reveal. I don't know if I should wait till the end of the show for it. It's about the wall. Should I reveal that now or wait until the end?
Go for it. And then I have a question about somebody that keeps bringing up the yellow lot. I think somebody saw me eating an arepa in the yellow lot, but go for it. Let me see the wall. I'm like, are you... So it's not a white wall behind you right now?
It is a white wall. It's still the same. But, guys, I'm building, okay?
Ooh,
I'm building. I got a little something in the mail, guys. So it's coming together. This is going to be somewhere up here at some point. So I got a couple other things coming into the mailboxes. So be on the lookout.
Well, I guess let's get into the game. Well, no, you know, before I get into the game, for those of you that have never been out to Chase Stadium, formerly Drive Pink Stadium, I hadn't been there in a month. The last time I went was for the 5-0 game against Orlando. And yes, Dennis, yes, I was there. I was eating an arepa, and I was also eating churros during halftime. And now that's what I wanted to get to. I don't know if the last time you went, Chris, they had the same setup, but now where they have the yellow lot little fan fest,
it's
now part of
today.
The stadium.
They debuted it today.
That's really cool because you show your ticket before you walk in there. But the awesome part about that is that now you can walk into the stadium and then walk back out to that area. So at halftime, my wife and I went back. We went to go to a Colombian food truck, but they ran out of the food that we wanted. So we went over to the churros food truck, and we had churros, just sat down on a table and had churros at halftime. Very cool that they added that because it brings all the food trucks out to that area, which kind of opens up the inside of the stadium walkways. Very nice touch. I thought that was really cool. So for those of you that have never been to the stadium, that's a very nice touch. The food trucks are now there in the yellow lot area, and that was really cool. I like that.
And it's a shame, Soccer Daddy, that you missed the whole game. It was a draw, so you didn't miss much. If you want to watch the game, just watch the first half. Don't even watch the second half. Okay. I'd say,
I was going to say, it did have food. At halftime, it had run out of the, they call it the lechona. And that's the meal that my wife went to get. And it had run out of that specific order. And that's what she went for. So they didn't run out of food altogether.
So I know that I got an email earlier this week that they debuted this setup for this game. So this was the first game where they legitimately closed off the fan zone and you have to go in with your ticket.
And
somebody had mentioned that to me. Now, I also heard that you can't play soccer out there. So that kind of sucks when I go with my son. I typically play soccer with him on the outside. So I don't know if that's the same, that you can't really play soccer out there anymore. And then also, if you really think about it, they probably did it because of all the people selling merch outside of the stadium.
Well, you can still do it by the cars, but yeah, they eliminated that. After the game, there's nobody out there anymore.
Exactly, because you know before you'd leave through the gate one, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you run into people selling messy hats, messy soap bars, messy dispensers, messy toilet paper, like anything with Messi's face or name on it was getting sold right outside the gate, legitimately right outside. So,
yeah, but it was a very nice setup. Kudos to whoever thought that up because I thought it was a great job. And it makes the stadium feel a little bigger because now you have a whole nother area that you can walk through during the games, before the games, and after the game. So that was really cool. I don't think there's anything else to touch on off the pitch. Oh, actually, one more thing. For those of you that are old school Inter Miami fans that miss like watching the players like walk into the stadium and stuff, it was interesting. I went to get coffee before the game started, and as I'm there with my cousin and his son, and his son points out Freire, and Freire is just walking through everybody, like right there, right by the Bustelo stand. And then I'm like, okay, that's cool. And that's then so cool. I turn around, and then my cousin's son again says, oh man, that's Cremaki. And there he was. And there's Freire and Cremaki just walking by. He ran up to him. He took pictures with him. And then Redondo shows up. And Redondo is there taking pictures with everybody. Now, Redondo looked like obviously he just got injured. So he was limping pretty rough. But that was interesting. It was cool to see them just walking by there. And then a couple minutes later, Izzy Boatwright and Hall both walked by. Those didn't, unfortunately, get any attention because I guess they're a little more unknown. So they walked by everybody unknown. But yeah, that was pretty cool to see everybody. It kind of felt like a little old school the way they were just walking through the fan zone, I guess, to get to the media area.
That's really cool. I mean, that's something that I think is not just cool, like in terms of like the old school perspective, but I think it's really cool because it sort of helps you embrace the team more, not just like embrace this Messi figure. Like at this point, like my daughter legitimately thinks that Messi is a hologram. So
why?
Because like he plays whenever he wants, then he doesn't want to play, and then when he plays, he's a god. And she's like, this guy Messi doesn't really exist. He's not a real person.
I think he plays when he's healthy.
Yeah.
I think he, look, we wondered if it was true that he plays, like when he plays, he wants to play 90. Everything I've seen is true. When he can play, he plays. So yes. I'm not going to doubt him playing. I think that he does play as much as he can when he can. And I think that today, maybe if this was I am almost 100% sure that if this was an important type of game, he would have played. But because the important game is on Wednesday, they saved him for Wednesday, which is the smart move. So I think that was a smart move, and I'm glad that they did it that way.
I sent you the starting 11. I don't know if you saved the starting 11, but I tried to upload it, and it's not letting me.
I got it. It'll be right up.
But I'll tell you this much. I love that you guys ran into those players. I wish that you guys would have ran into Ian Frey because I'd like to know what the hell's going on with him in his life. I want to know what's going on with Ben Krem because those are two players that I want to see back on the field immediately. So that's something that I anticipate on seeing. And
I thought Ben Krem was going to be available today.
So did I, which was surprising that he wasn't available today. So, yeah. And Yuki is saying Messi is Messi. I guess there's no other There's no other way to put it. And you know what? Walter Torres is saying Redondo was missed today. Yes, he was definitely missed. Of course, we need a speedy recovery out of him. Now, the question I have is, does anybody know if he got injured during practice? Was it in the last game? Because to be honest, I don't know when he ended up getting injured. Yeah, is asking, was Redondo injured? And I'll answer it with your name, likeliness. Yeah.
He injured his LCL, I believe, which is an 8-week supposedly injury. Like Jose said, 2 months, 8 weeks. If it would have been the ACL, it would have been likely 8 months. So luckily it's just the LCL. Like I said, he was limping pretty heavy, but again, it was just it just happened a couple of days ago. So it makes sense that he looked pretty worse for wear when he was walking around. And the lineup is there whenever you want it, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, we can just start off with the lineup like always. I guess looking at the lineup, like, this was a disaster. Right, like when you look at this lineup, right, and you guys in the chat, tell us what you guys think. But like, when you saw this lineup here, there's no way you thought anything positive. There's no way, right? Let me explain something real quick. Gressel's our new Messi, Ruiz is our new Busquets, and Busquets is our new Noah Allen.
Well, there's a couple things that I thought were odd. The Busquets starting at center back, I thought that was odd. But when I thought that it was only Saylor and Noah Allen as the options, I thought, okay, I guess I'm not a fan of it. But maybe he doesn't trust Ryan Saylor and Noah Allen beating the press. So Busquets being that center back that could maybe beat the press, I was like, I'm not a fan of it. But seeing as how thin we are, okay, let's try it out. But what I thought was really weird was the fact that Tomas Avilés was apparently available, and he played in the second half. So if he was available, why the hell was Busquets starting at center back? That's when I started questioning it. I didn't see the lineup before the game. I was busy, and I didn't see it. So I wasn't aware that Avilés was on the bench. So I was really taken aback when he came into the game. And once he came to the game, then Busquets moved into the midfield. And I was like, what the hell was the point of this? Like, that completely threw me off.
I want to mention something because Dennis mentioned a comment here. I don't trust Saylor either. Listen, Saylor played a good game. I think Saylor played a good game. I didn't see him make any big bad errors. He came back on defense. He distributed the ball well when they were getting pressed. He'd kick it back to Callander. He played exactly how he was supposed to play. Now, you're mentioning Avilés. And remember, it was mentioned that he was injured. So I imagine that they said, well, and exactly what happened is exactly what I thought. That they would take out Bright, move Busquets up in his place, and then bring Avilés in for like 20, 30 minutes, which is exactly what happened.
Well, can I ask you a question? Because you were watching it on TV.
Sure.
So maybe you had a better view, because from our seats, I can analyze the game much better when I watch it on TV. Because I'm sure, like, that's why they put reporters up in the media box up top, because you get a better view of the whole field. From where I was in the second half, at least, to me, it looked like they were playing with five in the back. It looked like Weigand was a right center back. It looked like David Ruiz was playing right wing back. And it looked like Busquets and Saylor were also center backs. That's what it looked like to me in the second half. It looked like it was Alba, Busquets, Saylor, Weigand, and then David Ruiz. Now, I don't know if that's how you saw it on TV. I kept trying to stare and see if that's what they were doing. And to me, it looked like they were lined up that way before Busquets got moved up to the midfield and Avilés came in. So before that substitution, it looked to me like that's how they were playing. I don't know if you saw it the same way.
To me, it didn't look that way. It didn't look like Ruiz was coming back to play like a right wing back or anything like that. What it looked like is, it basically looked like he was sort of trying to, I guess, help or make up for people getting beat on defense. Because at the end of the game, we were getting countered pretty efficiently. But no, I didn't see that towards the end of the game. And then we have a couple people here. We have Tariq mentioning Thank you for the super slam, buddy. It's saying sorry for being late. What a disappointment. Suarez, yeah, Suarez should have had 6 goals. I don't want to say it's
should
a fraction.
Have won that game.
Yes, I don't want to say it's a fraction of how good they can be when Messi is playing, Tariq. But I do agree with you that Suarez should.
You don't
have
think
had
if Messi
goals.
Plays today that they win?
I mean, I
if
think
Messi
that Messi
plays today, we kick their ass.
Yeah, we destroy. No, for sure we destroy them. But I don't want to say it's a fraction. Like when you say it's a fraction of how good they play, like that makes it seem like very minuscule amount of opportunity for us to play good. But let's go over this starting lineup. What did you think when you saw it at least premiere at the stadium? Because if you didn't get a chance to see it before, I mean, Twitter was on fire when they saw Busquets playing center back. Well,
I didn't the whole world see it. Bound. Yeah, I didn't see it, but my brother is the one that told me that Busquets is playing center back, which I thought was really weird. Again, I didn't like see it on my phone.
Yeah,
I was talking to him. And I assumed that Cremaki was on the bench until I saw him walk by. I thought that Aviles wasn't playing. But overall, when I saw them out there, nothing really shocked me, I guess, outside of the fact that obviously Busquets was playing center back. And I expected a 4-3-3, like I said, but I felt like Weigand was playing almost like a center back. I felt like he was a third center back. To me, that's what it looked like for a lot of the game. So I don't know. Now, one thing that did stand out to Weigand to me was that he was faster than I thought.
Yes,
there was a couple runs that he made, and I remember
didn't think he'd get it.
The first thing that I thought was when you brought up that FIFA card, you're like, this guy has no pace. When I saw him, I was like, this kid. He's I'm not gonna say he's a stud yet, but I mean, he looked quicker than I expected. So, look, AZ Rebellion is already calling him a stud. Now, I don't know if I'm going to go stud quite yet, but as far as pace goes, I thought that he looked good. I saw him win a ball down the right touchline, yes. And then he bucked it down, pushed the ball up really fast. So I thought that was good. Go ahead.
I loved how Bright played. I thought that he played I think that his touch is phenomenal. I think that Bright, his touch is phenomenal. Peaches is saying Chelo is a potential stud. So not a stud yet, but a potential stud. Dennis likes him. He was running his ass off. Dennis. Diego Gomez was good today. Diego Gomez was good today. Right, Dennis? I mean, come on. Diego Gomez was good today.
He also had a couple opportunities that he didn't.
Yeah, but you know what? Like I said, he's showing like better offensive awareness, better offensive play. Dude, you give me that plus that intensity on defense, I'll take that every day of the week. And look, Dennis, he's eating crow with me. Dennis, we got to, bro. AZ Rebellion also. So looking at the starting lineup, right? So I'll say it out for the people that are listening on audio. We have Taylor playing left wing, Gressel playing right wing, Suarez up top. You have Diego Gomez playing left mid. Ruiz really playing right mid, even though it's displayed here as the center mid. But Bright was really the center mid. And then you have Alba playing left back, Weigand playing right back, and then Busquets and Saylor filling out your center back positions with Calendar between the pipes.
So you don't think that David Ruiz was playing – I can't wait to watch the game back because I need to see this. I felt like he was playing the right wing back spot, man.
In the first half, absolutely not. In the second half, I didn't see him much go back there. I think I saw him go back there maybe within the last 10, 15 minutes. But it wasn't like – I don't think it was to be in that assignment. I think that he just went back there because of the need, because of the shifting that the center backs had to do.
I don't want to get off topic from the game. I see a lot of people bringing up Neymar right now. I just want to say I don't think Neymar was at this game. But for those of you saying that Neymar might be here this summer, Neymar is not coming till next year. Don't. It's not happening. He signed a huge contract in Saudi Arabia, and he played like a handful of games. Like he hasn't played enough with them to just bounce. He's going to play some more time with Saudi Arabia whenever he gets healthy. I do think he'll be here next summer in 2025, but don't think that, he's going to be here for the League's Cup run this year. He's not coming this year. I think he'll come next year, but absolutely not this year.
Now, One World, One Goal is mentioning something a little different than I am, saying the second half he did go back there a lot. I mean,
and that's when, from my seats, at that point, our team is scoring towards the other end. So that's when I get to focus in more on the back line. So that's when I started noticing it, because obviously we're right behind the goal. So that's when I started looking at our back line. I was like, man, David Ruiz looks like he's playing the right wing back. So I don't know about the first half, but the second half, that's what I thought.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to watch it back, but I didn't see him playing much right wing back. But, like, what do you think about this starting lineup? Seeing people out of position like Busquets, we got Weigand making his debut. We have people like Negri still on the bench. People like Campana still on the bench. You got Aviles on the bench. I mean, what did you think about this? We were working kind of with bare minimum, too.
I don't know. I think that there was Campana should have gotten on. Is he injured still?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say when is he not injured, because he's typically injured, but like something's got to be going on.
If he was healthy enough, I would have liked to see him and Suarez up top and take Taylor out or Gressel out and just have those two guys up top and see if they can create some magic the last 10, 15 minutes of the game. That's what I would have liked, because you felt like you were getting opportunities consistently. I think if they would have had two finishers up top, I felt like Suarez was creating a lot of chances for others. I felt like he was dropping dimes for other people. Like I said, some of those dummy passes that he was leaving off for other people. I felt like there were opportunities there. And I think that maybe him and Campana might have been able to pull some magic off the last 15 minutes. When I saw that they put 9 extra minutes at the end of the game, I was like, we're winning this game. I was convinced. I was like, we're gonna win this game. 9 minutes, we're gonna score, and we didn't, obviously. But I was confident. Now I will tell you, I've looked at several websites to see what the grades are, right? Because you know how they grade players and whatnot.
For just about all of them,
if it's not the top, it's the second, is Matt Freeze. If he's not the top rated player, he's the second rated player. So it's either Luis Suarez or Matt Freeze in most websites. Matt Freeze being the goalie for NYCFC. If that guy doesn't have a great game, Inter Miami wins.
And Walter Torres is mentioning, I like the energy from Casas and Alfonso when they came in. Absolutely.
I like Alfonso.
Casa, again, he didn't really stand out much to me, but Alfonso, he's looking kind of sexy right now. So starting 11, here it is. Read it and weep, guys. I'm pretty sure a lot of you were pulling all kinds of hair looking at this starting lineup right here, and I didn't like it so much. But then we start the game, right? Mm-hmm. Now, starting the game, and I think, and Alejandro thinks that my white wall is giving us bad luck. Listen, Alejandro, I'm telling you, brick by brick. Brick by brick, we're going to build this thing, guys. We're going to build this thing back here. Brick by brick, Alejandro. I promise you. Okay.
I saw somebody in the chats asked, Chelo looked good, right? And I can't find your comment, so I'm just going to answer it. I thought that he looked okay, yeah. So I thought he looked okay.
I thought he did very well.
I thought he did well. The thing is, I don't know where the hell he was playing. That's what I'm telling you. I think that he was playing center back for some of the game. So with that taken into consideration, I think he did well. But
I want to mention
something. I have
high hopes
for him.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention something, because everybody is focused on Messi being there or not being there. This is one person that I want to tell everyone right now that is critical to how we played today. Along with Diego Gomez. Diego Gomez and David Ruiz, those two guys right there, those two guys, to me, are the reason that we saw a lot of cohesiveness, not just offensively, but defensively.
David Ruiz, he played well. I saw once or twice that Luis Suarez was giving him an earful. And, you know, Luis Suarez is very demonstrative.
Yeah, so it's about being in positions.
I don't know if they caught that on TV or not, but there was once or twice that Luis Suarez was giving David Ruiz an earful. So.
He also did the same thing, I think, with Taylor at one point. Mm-hmm. He also was giving the business to someone else. He's a very, if you watch Luis Suarez very closely, Like, he's a very exaggerated human. Like, he's exaggerating his arms all over the place. He's like, you can read all of his emotions all over every crevice of his face. So, like, that's one guy that if you just stare at for a couple minutes, you're going to know what the hell is going on in his mind. So, and here we have Taiman and is mentioning Spicy Suarez. So,
I love Spicy Suarez. Me and my wife are talking about making a Spicy Suarez shirt. I don't want to jump. I know you go in chronological order. So I don't want to.
Yeah, no, we can jump all over. We can do it.
I know. And I'm not going to. But what I did want to bring up, because I don't want to forget, one thing that I liked that Inter Miami was doing early in the game was pressing.
Yeah.
NYCFC is trash. So what do you do to a trash team? You press them, you force them into mistakes. And the first 20, 30 minutes, they were doing that. And I loved it. Luis Suarez running his ass off. Diego Gomez can press. I thought they were doing a good job turning the ball over, creating chances. I felt like we were like when we scored that first one, and I saw the way we were pressing them and forcing them into bad decisions. I was like, man, we're gonna fucking kill this team, and that's what I really felt. And then things kind of we just started letting them hold the possession, let them bring the ball up a little more. Like I don't know, maybe we can't do the Red Bulls thing. We can't keep that pace up, I guess, the whole game. It would have been nice if we'd have gotten two out of that, because I'm telling you, we were on top of them the first 30 minutes of the game. It was awesome. But when you only convert one and then you can't keep that up, all of a sudden they start breaking you down.
Well, one of the things that happens is that, and I noticed especially with Diego Gomez, is that they must have like a recruiting sheet for him. Not a recruiting sheet, but like a scouting sheet where whoever has the ball around him, they're like, just get rid of it. Get it out of your feet. Give it to someone else that's not around Diego Gomez. So,
and I agree, Steve. They're not meant to press all game. It's very risky, and that's why I was surprised.
Do it, Alejandro.
I was surprised that they did it, but it was working. That's why if you're gonna do it, you better cash out at least one or two goals, because you're not gonna be able to do it all game, and you're leaving yourself susceptible to the counter. And like, they couldn't do it all game. They did it for the first 20, 30 minutes. Unfortunately, they only got one goal out of it, and things changed a lot once NYCFC started having possession of the ball and creating opportunities and whatnot. But those first 20, 30 minutes, they needed to get two goals out of that thing. That would have been the difference.
Oh, it would have been a hell of a difference. Are you kidding me? And then Luis Suarez already to be able to put at least two goals contribution in the first, 25 minutes? Like, I mean, look at the way that he played, the positions that he was in order to score. Anybody that tells me he's not going to be the golden boot this year is smoking crack.
He's tied with Lewis Morgan right now, isn't he?
Yeah, but come on.
Saying that Lewis Morgan's going to do more.
Lewis Morgan had a hat trick against us. That's it.
I'm just stating the fact that he is tied.
I mean, yes, you can state facts. It's like, what, we played like 2.5 games already, all right? Like, at the end of the day, he's going to walk away.
We've also played one more game than everybody else.
Yes, I get it. He's going to walk away the Golden Boot winner. And if you don't think the same, he's going to limp away. And if you don't think the same, you're probably smoking crack. So
actually, Jose just said Morgan scored today. So he has one more goal than Luis Suarez.
Oh, my God. Jose, come on, man. You're a party pooper, man. You're a party pooper.
I think Luis Suarez has a really good chance of doing that also. So
he does.
So you want to get into the goals?
So, well, with the goal, first of all, I want to get into this one play because I didn't write down the details of the goal. And the goal happened actually right in front of you, right?
Mm-hmm. The header?
It was a cross. Let me tell you, Gressel's crosses today were super duper on point. Super on point. I thought that his crosses were great. Peaches is chiming in into the chat. NYC played well today. They put 10 men behind the ball in every attack, and Inter Miami were too slow, mostly allowing them to get into position. Or maybe they just didn't.
That happened after the first 30 minutes. Look, NYCFC started dominating the ball after the first 20, 30 minutes. I don't know exactly at what point it started changing, but if you look, just watch back that game for the first 20, 25 minutes, and you'll see Inter Miami was dominating the ball, forcing turnovers. It just looked like we were just going to run away with this game, and it changed quickly.
I, And I think it goes back to what you're saying, where we're just not like the Red Bulls, right? Where we'll press, but we don't have the scheme or I guess the full roster in order to do the same sort of press that the Red Bulls do or as consistent as they do.
Well, we don't inject Red Bull into our veins like they do.
Yes, which is so, crack.
Yes, basically. So, that's what it is. They crack themselves out.
Yeah, so Dennis Lopez is saying we came out aggressive, which is correct. They did come out the box aggressive.
Oh, and actually, I wanted to bring this up. Unlucky game today. Ref was bad called. Stop Luis attacked. I want to address this to everybody that said that the replacement refs are horrible.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. All referees are horrible. Mm-hmm. And I know Solana gets a lot of crap because Solana has been fighting this fight. On Twitter, I've seen him fight this fight where people are going to complain about the real refs like they did about the replacement refs. That shit don't change. I'm sorry. Replacement ref or not, you're not going to like the refs. They're always going to make bad calls. You can say that some are worse than with the replacement refs. I didn't see the difference. I forgot that they were the official refs. It wasn't until my wife asked me if the official refs were playing or reffing today that I remembered that they had finally figured things out a couple days ago. It's all the same to me. I don't think anything changed.
Well, the broadcast didn't forget to remind all the viewers that they had just signed their contract and that now we have the real referees in house. Okay. And One World, One Goal chiming in with the fact of the night. The refs have been bad since 1996. Factor Rooney's. This was just awful. Mm-hmm. Skyler R is mentioning no cards on wasting time and stoppage times. Mm-hmm. That was completely awful.
And I agree, Skrillet. Refs are going to make mistakes. I'm not killing the refs. I'm killing the people that were killing the replacement refs and are saying that it's going to be a huge difference when the regular refs come in. Look, they're all going to make mistakes. That's the worst job. I don't know why anybody would want to be a ref. That's like the worst job you could possibly have.
It is, but like, I mean, it's cool though, because you're on the same field with all of these athletes and stuff. You think they get autographed stuff?
Absolutely not. And you get bitched at by those athletes.
If I was a ref.
It's not like they like you. They hate you.
If I was a ref, I'd probably try to get some. I can't get autographed. Well, I mean, I guess it would show
your career wouldn't last long. Yeah.
Why not? I mean, so if I work at Publix, I can't eat Publix subs.
Do you really think that's the same thing? Did you really just try to make that analogy?
Kind of.
Oh, my God. Go to the first goal. Oh, no, you were talking about the first goal.
Yeah, it was. It was a beautiful cross by Gressel, which I didn't even think. Was that the one that Gressel crossed where he headed it in?
Yes.
And that I didn't think it was going to get there on time, and it was amazing. Beautiful header. Uh-huh.
Oh, I was going to say, right before that goal, there was this this young guy that came in. I was going to say kid, but he's a young guy. He's probably in his early 20s. He walks up the steps, and he looks so excited when he sees that pitch. And I think it's so awesome when people look that excited to see a pitch. And he gave his girlfriend like a big hug and kiss. I guess maybe it was like a gift or something. And he looked like he was a big Luis Suarez fan because he started like yelling Luis Suarez's name. And he was so hyped. Like, you could see the happiness in his face. Just a random detail that absolutely nobody listening to cares about. But it stood out to me. I really thought that was a cool moment. And then he started, like, watching the game from down there. And the people were like, no, you got to go back to your seat. And he ended up going back to his seat. And, like, 30, 40 seconds later, Luis Suarez scores that goal. I felt so bad, man, because he would have had quite the experience if he would have seen it up close. But, yeah, it's always so cool to see people that happy when they go on and see the pitch up close and stuff. It's
that happens in front of our seats all the time.
Yeah, man, we're lucky. We're very lucky. One, that we get to see Luis Suarez and Messi all the time and up close, right? Because we sit pretty close to the pitch, so we've seen them up close quite a bit of times. And then when you see the way other people act when they see the pitch and they see Messi up by the midfield line and they get so excited, it's like, and it's really cool. We're really lucky that we have these all-time players playing for us right now. Random thought, I know. I just threw it off the show. But it's something that I just remembered, and I thought it was really cool because that kid looked really excited. And I was really, oddly enough, I don't know him, but I was really happy for him because it looked like he was really happy to be there. And then his boy, Luis Suarez, scored right after. It just sucked that he missed it.
Well, and I want to mention this because now that we're still off topic, One World One Goal is asking if we tried the new Inter Miami Pub sub. I actually tried it before and it's really good. You know what, Danny? I think I'm gonna take some time and I'm gonna what is that? I'm gonna do like a review of the sandwich. We should do that.
Well, I don't do subs, I do wraps.
I mean, you're a fucking crazy.
What do we do? What yeah, keep it PG. I know where that was going. Sure. I do Publix wraps. I like the wraps better than I like the subs. Give me a spinach wrap. All right. So Luis Suarez scored that goal.
I'm not gonna talk anymore.
That was 15th minute. He scores that goal. I'm not gonna lie to you. I immediately thought we were gonna game kick over. I was like, oh, that's it. We came out aggressive. We're getting chance after chance. I was like, we're gonna put three, four goals up today. I really genuinely felt that way. I was really surprised the way the game played out after that, but I was very confident. I really thought we were gonna win easily after that first goal and the way the game was being played. But you know, things kind of took a turn, and NYCFC started possessing the ball more. Now, I wanted you to tell me, because they didn't show the replay, and because I drove home, I haven't had a chance, because I drove home and I jumped on here immediately because we were running late. So I haven't had a chance to see the goal that NYCFC scored on my phone or TV or anything. I did see that some people were blaming Drake. Now, from what I remember, Drake got the ball. He passed it out to his left to Jordi Alba, but Jordi Alba ran into, I want to say it was Busquets, and they both went into for the ball. They collided with each other. The ball got loose, got into the foot of an NYCFC player. He progressed the ball up, maybe passed to somebody, and they hit a shot from like right outside the box or near the top of the box, and they scored like a missile goal. That's what I remember. Now, if you could please tell me, was that Drake's fault? Because I don't see how that could possibly be Drake's fault. But that's what some people were saying, so I'm kind of curious as to what you have to say.
So I just sent you a video because I recorded that goal, and I want everybody to go back and watch it. And it wasn't Jordi Alba. It was right here. Busquets was at fault. Busquets was the one that was at fault for that play. Now, I don't know if you have the chance to edit that video, maybe take away like the last 2 seconds, but... Other than that, just send it. Just see if you can upload it, because I recorded it from the moment that it happened, because you could see that it was Busquets that did a very terrible pass, gave up the ball, and then obviously
he's not going to be able to recover. You want me to put this up? Because this is horrible. You don't see the play.
What do you mean? You do see the play.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
Okay, this is horrible podcasting, by the way, Chris. We can't just debate whether yes or no.
So here it is. I'm going to put it for everybody here, right? So there's the ball. You see him, right?
So you don't see the error that you're talking about.
Well, yeah, you do. And then you see him. He's taking ownership. Okay, see, hold on.
The video's over.
Yeah, the video's over. You're right. Fuck you. So, but it's important to see that Busquets is the one that took ownership for it. You're right. But okay. He is the one that took ownership for the bad pass. Yeah, because I recorded it sort of like at the end of the whole play.
Yeah.
Where he ended up giving the ball up, right? And then so once he gave the ball up, you'll see right there. He's like, I got it. It's my bad. So
I mean,
it's true.
I mean, I guess Drake could have done a better job of positioning himself, but I don't see how that is how that's Drake's fault. He was Marasovic is hard.
Marasovic is mentioning it went in on the near post, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to force him to beat you wide, I guess, but still, that was one on one. It's nice. It's rough. I think that you would say that's more on Busquets or Alba for coughing the ball up, and a lot of people are saying it's Busquets' fault. Look, Busquets playing a new position. I don't know if he's ever played center back. I don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that he was all the way out there trying to get that ball. But look, at that point, I thought it sucked that we had let up a goal. You could tell that two players bumped into each other. I didn't know that it was Busquets initially. But I wouldn't blame that on Drake. But even then, 1-1, I still thought that we would come out on top.
Well, I mean, look, when you have a turnover like that, whether it's Busquets or anybody else, like, it's going to happen. So he gave up the ball, unfortunately. Look, Busquets is probably playing from a position that he rarely ever plays in. He knows the sort of dynamic or the sort of players that are around him from his spot. And so it just so happened that he's trying to make a play, and unfortunately just made a terrible pass that just turned over, and we got caught with our pants down. That's what happened. He made the bad pass, and we just had less defenders against the offensive players, and we got scored on. I don't want to blame that on the goalie. The goalie's making literally a split hair decision.
And I'm with Vice City Lucas. I mean, I think most people agree with you. Everybody thought that he was too slow to play center back, and that we might get beat on the counter. But with that being said, we didn't end up getting really beat on the counter.
We did at the end of the game. At the end of the game, it looked like they were going to destroy us on the counters. Mm-hmm. But I think it's at that point that we were just getting gassed.
Well, no, I thought that we were going for a goal also.
Which also starts to, you know, I start to wonder, Negri's been on the bench the last two games. What's going on with Negri? Is he going to come back?
I guess like, he's not
is
ready.
He going to play at any point?
Sure he will, but he's not ready yet.
He played a game with IMCF 2. Mm-hmm. He was on the bench for two games. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's like, you got to give him some playing time if you're trying to ship him off. Because what are we doing? You're just taking a space up on the bench. And Dennis is mentioning that Drake actually had a few great saves tonight, including the one at the 90th minute. And the post, I believe, in the second half, mm-hmm. saved also a potential goal against.
Yep.
So it could have been 2-1, even though we could have scored five goals today.
Well, when you look at the overall stats, we had 16 total shots, six shots on target. Yeah. And I know a lot of people don't like the XG expected goals, but if you go with that, horrible. I don't know. We were expected goals for us 2.48, for NYCFC 1.23. You know, we had seven corners. I statistically, we had a much better game. I thought overall we looked better.
Look at that saucy play by Jordi Alba. Saucy play by Jordi Alba. Great production, guys. I should have uploaded all of this before.
Yeah. I know. And you had a full hour and a half to get ready for this. What happened?
I did. And I made videos and everything. I cut up stuff too. Like,
and you just didn't feel like uploading it?
I didn't get to it.
All right. So, and then I don't know if you want to talk about the second half much. It was nothing too interesting in the second half. Maybe the substitutions you want to get into. NYCFC really, they let us have the ball really in the second half, but we didn't do much with it. Like you said, they started countering towards the end.
I want to finish up by saying, so I wrote some notes.
Go for
Diego
it.
Diego was in his bag with a beautiful through ball to Suarez in the 22nd minute, right? Yep. From long distance. Taylor had a great cross to Suarez where he whiffed it, right? It was the one that he whiffed right in front of the goal on the 27th minute. And then the one thing that I picked up that I noted this down a couple times is that Gressel takes way too long to make a decision on what he's going to do. Like, he'll sit there, he'll hesitate, wait until the last second when the defender's so close, try to make a play, and then it'll get stolen from him. I noticed that on at least four different occasions.
What was that?
Gressel, that he would take too long to make his decisions. Mm-hmm. So you'll have the ball in front of him, and instead of making a quick decision, he's waiting until the defender comes. I guess he's trying to figure out where he's coming from to dictate a better pass to someone else or something. I noticed that. And other than that, I also noticed Diego Gomez do a Mota blast in the 40th minute.
Oh, that's that one almost hit my wife.
Yes, that one looked like it was gonna sail.
One of those almost hit my wife.
You should sue them. And you know what, Florida man? I'm actually working on my Diego Gomez apology letter, and I'm going to be writing it on top of my Taylor jersey picture thing here. So
and I saw Tank jumped in and decided to poo-poo on calendar. I didn't see calendar. From what I saw, I didn't think Callender had a bad game. I don't know what you think, Chris. I don't know what the chat thinks outside of Tank. I didn't think Callender had a bad game.
I don't think he had a bad game. He had a lot of good blocks this game. The only goal that he succeeded in reality was a goal that wasn't his fault.
Greetings to Puerto Rico over there.
What's up, Nene? But other than that, the second half kind of sucked. Very lackluster second half. And, I mean, we had opportunities in the second half, too. I mean, Luis Suarez has got to be beating himself up today, right? He's got to be beating himself up.
He had a few opportunities. The team overall had a lot of opportunities, but they just couldn't convert, and that's okay. Look, this kid, Matt Freeze, had a great game.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, it happens. Now, what did you think about the Matt Freeze going ahead and laying down on the ground and getting Luis Suarez all excited and upset?
Well, you know how I feel about goalies. That guy's a bitch. Like, what are you doing? What a bitch. Okay. He didn't even get hit in the head. He's just going to sit on the ball. He's going to be a little bitch. Get up. What are you doing?
What I thought is that NYCFC was happy with the draw, and usually teams that are on the road are. But I felt like they felt it also. Like, ooh, Inter Miami. Luis Suarez, they'll pull one out really late and run, like completely just run away with this game. And yeah. I think that they were just all in for the draw at the very end. And they started 10 minutes early. And that sucks because, you know, that played to their favor, even though they gave us 9 extra minutes. And like I told you earlier, when I saw 9 minutes, I thought, oh, we're winning this game.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought that it was super unnecessary. I thought there was another time where there was like a substitution that was being made by NYCFC. The players were getting off on the other side of the field instead of to the closer side of the field to try to delay the game. Like, they were being fucking bitches. Mm-hmm. Like, NYCFC was being a bunch of bitches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're so happy you're going to walk away with your tie, you stupid fucking team. You suck.
I mean, they've only won one game all year, so they're trying to get points whenever they can.
Yeah, I mean, Skyler's mentioning it right here. Even their fans are happy with the draw. And typically, you're happy with a draw in an away game.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because they've done so poorly. So. Yeah.
And they'll take any win. They'll take any win. If you give them anything for half a point, they'll take a half a point.
Look, if you're on a whatever game losing streak that they're on, I mean, all you
fucking
give me a point.
Bottom feeders.
Yeah. Well, Now we're talking about NYCFC. So you did the show without me on Wednesday with the NYCFC guest.
Yeah.
Now, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Since when is Queens not a part of New York City?
Bro, I never said that Queens is not a part of... Did I say that? I said it verbatim.
Yes. I was like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Maybe I didn't word it right. I thought that I said that there's people that complain because it wasn't in... You know, Manhattan, the Bronx, or it wasn't in Brooklyn, you know,
Queens. That Queens is one of those. It's a borough.
I mean, yes, I know it's one of the 5 boroughs. Yes. But from what I understood, it's not a preferred borough where they wanted the game at, where they wanted the stadium at.
It's the same shit as Brooklyn and Bronx. It's the same shit.
I guess. But, you know, I fucked up on that one. I guess I'll take ownership of that.
What the hell did
Queens
say?
Anyway, what the fuck else is in Queens? Nas is in Queens. That's it. Nas is in Queens. Mobb Deep is in Queens. You got Flushing. Fuck Flushing. Fuck the Mets.
Yeah, right? I'm with you on that one.
Fuck Train 7. Fuck you guys.
Roosevelt Ave is there. A lot of Colombians out there.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I went out there. I met all the Colombians out there. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Got me some fucking Colombian food, but fuck Queens.
Yeah,
and then for real estate.
And then shout out to Miami, the 6th borough. Funny, 1 world, 1 gold. And now that you say that, You know, if you ever randomly see like any type of Photoshop picture on the internet and it has the six Burrow on it, that's mine. I used to use that for all my social medias for like the last 10 years up until like 2 or 3 years ago. I literally just had the six Burrow on everything. And the way we started the Battered Fans website, we're going to start the six Burrow website. So, anything else you want to talk about this game before we start? Just, I know we're going to talk about Monterrey on Monday. We have a guest for Monterrey on Monday. But anything else you want to touch on before we slightly touch on Monterrey? Because I do want to talk about the Monterrey thing.
I mean, look, it's the game was what it was. It was a tie fucking game. It, you know, it should have been a better outcome. We should have had more goals. We should have had a win. But, I mean, if you're going to lose the game, I guess lose the game without Messi, right? You know, feed all the Messi monsters. Feed all the Messi monsters. Let them feel like Messi is, we can't win without Messi. And then come Wednesday, we're going to dominate because Messi decided to take a shit that morning. And then, you know, I'm probably going to get destroyed in the chat, guys. So,
for sure.
I mean, at this point, I'm already stuck in the quicksand.
What? Give me a positive from today.
Chelo was good.
Okay.
He was good. Bright was good. I like Chelo and Bright. I love seeing Gomez and Ruiz back. There was a lot of, there's a lot more positives than you, than people probably think.
I agree.
And Alex Rivas is telling us that we're fucking cooked. What?
Nah.
Guys, you know what? Now that you asked that question, guys, Nate, put one name on the chat that you thought was a positive for this game.
I mean, so far,
AZ Rebellion is mentioning Chelo, Ruiz.
I thought the way Luis Suarez was playing, at least in that first half, I thought Luis Suarez was having a great game. I thought he was creating for other people left and right. I thought he was having a great game.
Yeah, and feels like a loss right now for Marasovic. Gus is mentioning Chelo. Mike V is also mentioning Chelo. You got Gomez mentioned by Michael and Sofia. Timonen is mentioning Taylor.
Robert Taylor, I thought, was a little quiet today.
He was okay. I thought he did pretty well. I mean, there was a time where he almost had one of his Taylor blasts, but he ended up giving it up to Gomez, and that's the one that he blew.
Mm-hmm. Gomez is Chelito. Always.
Listen, and the thing about Chelo is that I think that everything is seen positively because it's his first game and he didn't have a complete blunder. So I think that the fact that Wagan didn't have a terrible game already is like a sign of positivity at the right back position.
I saw Freire walking around before the game, like I told you, right? When I saw Kremaki and Redondo. And of the three of them, Freire looked like he was walking normal. He looked like everything was good. I'm not saying that he's good. But do you think that there's a chance that he comes back on Wednesday?
I would think so. I mean, I think, from what I could tell, I feel like Tata has like a high opinion of him. So I think that he would come back if Christophe, especially if Christophe is not going to be here or if Christophe is injured in some way, he's definitely going to start.
If we have a team with four in the back with Wagan, Aviles, yes. Okay. Tank, I was saying earlier that I also saw Redondo and Kremaki and they were walking together. And yes, Redondo did not look good, but he just got injured, right? He's still 8 weeks back away from getting back.
Yeah.
But if on Wednesday we have Alba, Freire, Aviles, and Wagan on our back line with Drake at goalie. And then in the midfield, you have, Gomez, Busquets, and David Ruiz with Taylor, Suarez, and Messi up top. You don't think that that's a solid 11?
I think that's beautiful 11.
I mean, I would rather have Redondo over Ruiz. Not that I didn't think Ruiz plays well, but I think Redondo.
Just with what we have.
I think Redondo is better than Ruiz, honestly. But I think with that starting 11, I don't think that we're like done or cooked, as somebody said earlier. I think that we have a chance. I think that's a solid 11, especially when you say, hey, we have Messi. So
It's a really good 11. I mean, you're mentioning David Ruiz, but that's only by default because Redondo's injured. If Redondo's not injured, then he's filling that spot.
If everybody's healthy, the only difference is Redondo, no?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only one. Because Wagan is going to stick. That's it. Wagan is right back. Alba's left back. I mean, everybody else is solidified.
Skyler is right. I want to see David Ruiz, but Skyler's probably right. It probably won't be David Ruiz. It'll probably be Gressel.
Yeah, because Tata loves Gressel.
Yes. So it'll probably be Gomez, Busquets, and Gressel. So, yes. Skyler, you are 100% right. It will probably be Gressel in the right center mid position. So,
wow. One World, One Goal is chiming in with some heat, saying, I think we'll have about five different starters on Wednesday. Messi, Freire, Negri, Benkrem, etc.
No way. Messi, yes, in right wing. Freire, yes, center back. But I don't see where Negri would fit. You're not going to bench Jordi Alba in a Champions Cup game. Benkrem, I mean, are you really going to start him over David Ruiz and Gressel? I doubt it. I definitely don't think Tata would do that. So, no, I think that if Kremaki plays, it'll be as a sub. And, and I think David Ruiz might also come in as a sub. So, we'll see. Now, does this loss discourage you for Wednesday's game?
No, it doesn't. Because we don't have Messi.
Okay, what if Messi doesn't play on Wednesday?
Then it's going to be a scary Wednesday then. It's going to be, I don't think we're going to lose. I don't think we're cooked. But obviously playing with Messi is going to be better than not playing with Messi. But I think that will be fine.
Monterrey hasn't lost since like September or something.
Well, I mean, apparently they just recently lost. First loss of the year. Oh, Mike V is mentioning it.
There we go. That's what I like to hear. Good stuff, Mike V. And then we're going to have to go back. So I'm not going to lose any confidence. Now, once if I were to hear, Messi might not play or Messi's not going to play, then I'm like, fuck. But if Messi's playing, look, we don't lose when Messi plays.
And Alejandro's saying we're not playing like a super team. God help us. So and look, Kevin's saying they will this Wednesday. And Mike V is mentioning they had two red cards.
Yeah, but that doesn't count for Champions Cup, so.
Yeah, unfortunately. But then that means that basically they're going to get super angry at Luis Suarez because Luis Suarez pisses everybody off.
He does.
So
I know, and he was getting spicy with the NYCFC players. That's another thing from the last episode. When the guest was like, yeah, we like our players and our coaches to act like New Yorkers. Look, I'm a New Yorker. I promise you, there's pussies in New York also. Not everybody's fucking hard. So, like, just because you're from New York doesn't mean you're hard. Like, I'm sorry. There's preppy neighborhoods. There's geeks. There's people that get beat up on a daily basis. Not everybody's fucking hard in New York.
Yeah, this guy. I mean, they should build the stadium in Astoria, Queens, I guess. Preppy ass Astoria. Well, Astoria is not that preppy. There's parts in Astoria that's... Yeah.
No, it's going to be fine. Plus, I saw that it was really nice, the entrance and stuff.
Yeah, of course. That shit looks beautiful. They could fit anything in fucking Queens. Mm-hmm. That's why they picked that borough.
Well, it's the biggest borough, like.
Yes, it is.
So they have two fucking airports in that place.
So I don't know. And Timonin is mentioning Greek food is tasty, though. That is true.
Oh, look, man, New York is the best place for me personally. Maybe I'm biased, but if you want to eat, go to New York. You find literally a little bit of everything. Literally a little bit of everything.
Yes.
I think that's a foodie's dream, is to go to New York. I read somewhere that you could literally eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at a different spot for, man, was it like 20 or 30 years? Like every day, never repeat. If you go to New York City, like it's wild. So I'm sure a lot of those are going to be pizza spots, but it's like literally you could try a different place to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day for like 20 or 30 years or some crazy number. And
Tank is saying that they have great pizza and public transportation. That's it. I mean, they have a little bit more than that, Tank, but I get what you're saying.
Hey, let's not disrespect New York either, you know?
Yeah. It's not Boston.
Oh, no, fuck Boston. All right, Chris, we're now off to the gas bagging part of the show, so I think we're just about done here. We are 3-2-2. Three wins, two draws, two losses. That we are technically still in the top end of the standings. I haven't checked the updated standings, but we've also have one more game than most other teams. So you really got to take that with a grain of salt. We have 11 points. We are right behind Cincinnati, has 12 points. We are in a three-way tie for second with 11 points. But like I said, we have one more game played than most of those teams. So that could change soon.
Well, yeah, Izzy's saying that we're second in the standings. So
yeah, but we played more games than everybody else. So I don't I try not to get too hyped about second place until everybody's played the same amount of games.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm ready to watch the game on Wednesday, Papa.
Wednesday it definitely is gonna be fun because those games matter, right? These regular season games technically matter, but you lose, you're like, well, you lose some, you win some, you move on. But Wednesday, we can't lose, especially at home. We got to win this game. So yes, it's going to be fun. Absolutely. And we have our guest coming on Monday to talk some Monterrey. He'll be joining us at 9 o'clock to talk Monterrey in English. And then he'll be joining us and the Batter Herons en Español at 10 o'clock to talk Monterrey in Spanish. So it should be a fun Monday night. Any final words there, Chris?
It's coming, baby.
The wall?
Brick by brick. The wall. It's coming. Okay, guys. I got it.
Oh, actually, sounds 1, 2, 3 on the TV. Supporters sounded great. I did think that the supporters section did sound louder than usual, which is really cool. I don't know what attributed to that. I don't know if there was just more of them today, but I did think that it was really cool. Hopefully, they could bring even more of that on Wednesday because it's going to be needed. So
yeah, it's going to be awesome.
So Wednesday for sure. And if you haven't already, check out betterfans.com. If you want to get your Goat Messi shirt, and I was getting a lot of compliments on it today. So if you want to get that shirt, go ahead, betterfans.com. And I think that's about it. Wednesday. Monday, we'll be back 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock in Espanol. And I'll stop gas bagging. I hope everybody has a great Easter tomorrow. Enjoy yourselves, all that egg hunting and all that other good stuff. And for those of you that reached out to me throughout the week to check to see if everything was okay with me, I really appreciate you guys reaching out. That was really nice of you guys. And so far, everything is good. So we'll be back on Monday. So until the next one, have a good one.